Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, December 2nd, 2004. I'm Todd Cochran, your host for the Geek News Central podcast. We welcome you to the show, and we hope everyone's doing fine. I know it's been a fast week with a lot of news. We've had a lot of information we've been putting up on the weblog, so if you haven't been by the site or haven't been pulling down the RSS feeds, be sure to check out geeknewscentral.com. The content has been pretty free-flowing this week because we've had a lot of news. But we want to encourage you, as always, to send us comments about the show to the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Call us on Skype if you feel you need to at Geek News Central. And, of course, email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. I just wanted to relay to all of you back in the mainland and other places in the world where it is winter. The weather here in Hawaii has been absolutely unbelievably nice. Now, I did mention on Sunday we had a lot of rain, but today, or all this week, has been absolutely beautiful. I've been going to a leadership school, and it's something my work does. They send people to leadership school whether we need it or not every couple of years, and it's, you know, it's a touchy-feely type thing where you go in and you learn about interpersonal communications and that type of stuff. But what's great about the class is, and here's a little secret, it gets out about noon. So, you know, you get you basically get paid for a full day's worth of work, but you're done by 12. So, it's been nice being able to come home and take care of some stuff around the house, and it's almost like having some free vacation time. But and it hasn't stopped me from doing regular work from the office. I have to continually update on email and then check in with the guys. But it's been kind of cool, and I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed the weather. And that's one thing about Hawaii. It's so strange, you know. It's December now, and you're in your mind, you're saying it's cold outside, and you go outside and it's 80, and it's just a trick your brain plays on you from living in the Midwest for so many years. I did notice, and I would like to get some feedback. Those of you that use Technorati, if you have been noticing an improvement in the service, I have over the last couple of days started to see that they have picked up. Some links that, well, you know, it was kind of dry for a while, and I knew people were linking to the site, but Technorati wasn't catching it. PubSub was. So, I basically have kind of put them on the back burner of being a primary, reference site for me to look at all the time. But the last couple of days, I don't know, they've been doing pretty good, so I don't know if they fixed something over there or if we finally got high enough in the chaff level that, our stuff gets pulled out correctly. I was experimenting and looking at live365.com, a website that is dedicated to doing streaming audio. And I went over there to their site and I posted a couple of comments. And I may have told you before that the response I got back in there from some of their people in their forums was less than, how should we say it? Well, they weren't nice, and it kind of turned me off. So I'm hoping that if anybody from live365.com is listening, that you get control of your forums, and, you know, and if someone comes in there, it's a new guy and wants some information, that you don't let some of these monarchical old-timers make complaints about you or make a snide comment that's not justified. On that subject, excuse me, I was listening to IT conversations in the BloggerCon session that they put up on law, and I had heard during the session them talk about an organization called IPAC, and I just so happened, and I put this up on the website, but I just so happened to come home that evening and read a Wired article that said, talked about battling the copyright big boys, and I was pretty surprised that they referenced IPAC. Now, I want everyone that is a believer in fair use and cares about intellectual property rights and do not care about what groups like the RIAA and the MPAA are doing, to get over to IPAC, sign up, get on their mailing list, and if you feel they're a worthy organization, in which I think it looks like they're going to be someone that we want to deal with, just like we want to support the Electronic Frontier Foundation, I want you to take a look at that, and if you feel they're worth $20, throw $20 in a hat towards them, or whatever you may feel, or whatever you can afford, because geeks need representation in Washington, D.C. It's been too long where our voice has not been recognized, and these big companies have come in and through having lobbyists have been able to get the laws passed and worded in a way that supports them and doesn't support us. So I'm endorsing IPAC. I think their mission statement is something that that I can support personally, and I hope you will too. Now, on the Geek News Central website, I do have a few guest editors, and basically I consider them like associate editors. They're freelance. They come in when they want to and post information, and I don't always have time to put a lot of content on the site, but if you'd like to come in and be an editor on Geek News Central, send me an email, and I'll see about getting you added to the site. We'll provide a link back to your home web page, maybe drive some traffic to you, and if you feel like contributing once in a while, we'd be more than happy to have you on the site. I have quite a bit of information to go through tonight, but I did have an interview today on the telephone, and I'm trying to queue this up in the in my iPod right now. I had a conversation with Thomas Gom from iPodio, and we talked about BitTorrent and what's going to be happening with, you know, the iPod team is working on getting BitTorrent incorporated so it works real well and flawlessly. And I have some concerns, and Thomas has some concerns about BitTorrent and using it with podcasts. So I want you to listen to this conversation. It's about 5 minutes. And this is the first time we've used a new application, a new tool that we've got here. It's a box from JK Audio called an inline patch. It allows me to pretty much level the conversations over a telephone line. I had tried a cheap device from Radio Shack, and that did not work out real well. But this device seems to work real good. And if you look on the website, we've got a link to our gear layout that we've... I took some pictures of it, made some general comments. But check out this interview, and I hope it comes through and it sounds good. So let's see here. Cue this up. Here we go. Oh, I messed it up. Let's see if I can get it again here.
Thomas Gom on the line from iPodio.com. How are you tonight, Thomas?
Great. How are you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing good. I noticed today that you wrote an article on BitTorrent feeds and podcast, and I just wanted to get your 2 cents worth on that. I know that's a big thing that's going on in the iPodder development list right now. Tell me what you think.
Just my feelings, you know, they're strictly my comments, are that I don't like the BitTorrent being associated with podcasting, just because podcasting is like this virgin. It's unscathed by piracy. It's you know what I'm saying. It's clean.
Right.
And BitTorrent has this storied past. I mean, one of the points I made was if you go to Wikipedia and you type in BitTorrent, it in the explanation about BitTorrent, it actually talks about how it's used for piracy and how it's used to download television programs and movies and so forth.
I know that we had talked a little bit last night on Skype, and we both were concerned that BitTorrent may not be the model that the average podcaster with minimal numbers of people listening to their show would be right for them. You know, I think Adam Curry and, of course, Dave Weiner and those guys are probably going to see benefits of it. But what do you think about for the average podcaster that is, you know, maybe got a couple hundred listeners?
Right. Unless you got a couple thousand listeners and you have 5 or 10 people downloading all the time, BitTorrent really isn't going to make a lot of sense because people just don't leave the torrent running. I mean, when I download something, I'm not going to let it sit here and eat resources on my machine when I'm trying to do off doing something else. I get what I want and I move on.
I think what my experience has been so far is that in using BitTorrent to download other types of items, that sometimes there's only one or two people seeding the feed, and I'd hate to be the one or two people, or one of the two people, they're, you know, seeding a 15 meg download for, you know, someone else's show, and then having 500 people pulling that through my broadband connection. You know, unless there's some agreement people can come to, or some sort of a coalition that where we can get a dedicated number of people to, you know, and I mean a significant dedicated number of people, or 50 or more, to seed shows. I just don't see, and maybe my numbers are too high there, but you know, there has to be a significant significant number of people seeding the MP3s.
Right. If you only have 1,000 listeners and you're putting out a 5 or 10 meg show, BitTorrent doesn't make sense. I mean, and even if you did it every day, you'd have minimal savings with BitTorrent over the course of that 24-hour period.
Right. I think at this point we're going to continue to feed raw MP3 feeds, and you know, basically add bandwidth as needed, and hopefully it will scale enough. I know that I've decided to do the advertisement route, and I know that's not what a lot of people do, and I don't think you're real happy with that type of a advertisements within the podcast themselves. I don't think everyone wants to do that, but I think at this point, for my personal perspective, that's the way I have to go, because, and I got a family to feed too, and this thing isn't, I'm not using this as a money maker.
Well, one of the points I was trying to make was we've got a lot of great minds in this podcast community we have right now, and it's very early, and I'd hate to see us go down the wrong road, which could be BitTorrent. I'm not going to say for sure it is, but maybe BitTorrent's the wrong road, and we have all these resources and all these smart people. Maybe we can come up with a better technology for a distribution model.
Yeah,
and that would be the time to do that rather than later.
I agree. Well, I know it's late for you. It's 2 a.m., I believe, your time, so I'm going to...
A little bit after 1.
After 1, so I was a little off on my math, so I'm going to let you go for tonight, but I thank you for your comments. Why don't you give your site a plug so the guys can get over there to see it?
Oh, yeah. You can read the article I wrote over at iPodio.com. That's www.iPodio.com. I've got 3 different RSS feeds. One's an old-time radio feed. The other one, I do news and information out of the public domain, some news feeds if I find out there. And then I have an audio forum where I've kind of changed the format on that and changed it so it's all out podcasting. So if you have any comments about podcasting or any ideas, feel free to call us there and leave some comments on our comment line.
Why don't you give them that number?
Okay, that number, I didn't want to do that on your show, Todd.
That's
I didn't
fine.
But the number is area code 321-988-2223.
And Thomas, thanks for being on tonight. And everyone, make sure you check out his site. And he's got a unique idea going on there. It's a little different than openpodcast.org, where he's moderating the comments coming in and publishing the good stuff. So check out what he's doing over there. And thanks, Thomas.
All right, Todd. Thank you.
Again, that was Thomas Gumm from iPodio.com. And we hope you guys get over there and check his site out. He's got a real nice feed going. And he basically is putting up a question of the day or question of the week and then letting people call in and make comments on it. I like what he's doing over there. And I think he runs an ISP in Florida. So he's looking at the bandwidth issue too, and it's something we can get our arms around, and hopefully the brains behind the podcast Phenomena can help out. But anyway, I've got a lot more stuff to go over. We're already 15 minutes in the show, so I'm going to go right on into my links for the day. I know all of us have signed up for a service from time to time, and you've been encountered one of those boxes of those boxes that has the coded letters in it, so that you know they're trying to beat automated sign-up systems. But I guess there is a cat and mouse game going on right now between those groups and the companies that have to embed that data. So there's a pretty good article on InfoWorld that shows the kind of the progression that some of these little widgets, and I think they're calling CAPTCHA. Well, I don't know if that's what they're actually calling them, but these visual puzzles per se, it shows you how complex they're getting. And you know what? And I'm having a hard time reading some of those on some of the sites, and I just it's aggravating when you have to re-enter it three or four times because you think a V is a U or a U is a V or a 9 is a 0. You know, just hard to read at times, and it's pretty interesting to see where what road that's went down. In another article, Jeremy Wright is auctioning himself on eBay. He's a blogger. And he has a very successful website, which has been a weblog, which has been sold to another company. And he's offering his services up to a company that is looking to launch a weblog to do some consulting work with them. And his bid is up to about $1,500. What he's basically going to do is give out about 3 months worth of advice. Now, if any of you out there are looking to take your weblog into the next level. It's an eBay bid away. So we put that up there, and I've got two articles that have linked to it. I've got an Investor Business Daily article, and I've got the article that's directly on his website. Now, in no really big surprise news, Microsoft has launched their MSN Spaces, and it's basically a weblog for within MSN. And they've launched it to go after Blogger and LiveJournal, TypePad, Blogspot. And they've openly said that these are the target ones that they're going after, and they looks like they've done a pretty good job on their initial release. I went in and set up my own account just to check it out. It looks pretty impressive. You're going to be able to send pictures from your phone directly to the weblog. You can instant message a post. And, you know, it's all integrated within the MSN system and the MSN Messenger and Hotmail. So, you know, they've got a branded product already, and they've just tied it into that. So it's going to be curious to see how well they do. And hopefully, and I'll be honest with you, I hope it makes movable type, or actually Six Apart, who owns and upgrades movable type and has a TypePad service, I hope it gets them to thinking in new ways and allows them to step up and maybe get some of these features in incorporated that they don't have already. Now, I didn't look at it real close enough to look at feature by feature comparison, but MSN has got a pretty impressive offering. Now, they're only about 3 years late. You know, let's be honest with you, they should have been, Microsoft should have been in this game 3 years ago, but they set back long enough, and finally the groundswell become large enough that they had to do something. Now, talking about Microsoft, I've got a little geek tip for you today, and I hope most of you geeks know about a and the article on GregHughes.net weblog talks about Windows' sneaky little secret. It's an application called MSConfig. And if those of you have never run MSConfig before, what you need to do is hit Start, then hit Run, and then type into the command window there, MSConfig, and hit OK, and look at the application that launches there. And that is a very powerful little utility that allows you to tell what is loading during startup, what is in some of your INI files, and it's pretty interesting to take a look at that. And you can actually increase your boot speeds and use a if you don't know what a specific item is, you know, copy it down and then Google the item, and you can see whether or not it's a legitimate item that you need in your startup scripts. So be careful using that. It is not something for the if you're scared about touching anything and messing up your system and don't have a clue on computers, you know, that's something that you should leave to a geek friend or to. But he's got a tutorial here that'll get you started, and it's a real good tutorial that talks about all the functions, and hopefully he expands upon that. Let's see here. I have to mention, I did get a link back today from a gal who has a website. It's www.geeksmakemehot.com. And Jennifer Ledbetter out of Blytheville, Arkansas, has this domain name. And I had to laugh. She's got us in the blog role. And I'm really, there's not too many posts on the site, but it's pretty cool. I think she scored herself a pretty good domain name. It'd be nice if she put a picture up about herself. We'll see how hot she is. But geeksmakemehot.com, and I always like to try to at least reference one site a night or one site during every podcast that's linking to us. But that one caught my attention in the referral logs. Now on Yahoo News has an article about Google has went and enhanced their discussion groups, and I think that's one of the a lot of people don't even know that Google has discussion groups, but they have now incorporated a link on their primary when you google.com, you'll see a link to the discussion groups. Now that wasn't outwardly shown in the past, but it is now, and they've made some improvements. It hasn't doesn't go into a greater detail on what they've done to make it better, only it says it's designed to make it easier for people to create discussion forums focused on common group interests. So, like the Yahoo discussion groups or the mailing list, Google has their own. Now, I don't know if Google embeds advertisements in theirs or not. I'm sure they have their ads, their own Google ads, but it's a you know, if you got a Gmail account and you want to start a discussion group, that's probably a good place to do that. Now, Engadget has a pretty critical article about the Radio Shark from Griffin. I've wanted one of these and hadn't found one. I'd been looking in the store for them, and I wasn't going to buy one online. I wanted to, get my hands on the thing and check it out. But I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm going to read the conclusion that's on Engadget, and I'm quoting here. The conclusion: the Griffin Radio Shack has jumped the shark, as they say. It gets an A for effort, an F for execution, and a blanket party. Now, for those of you that don't know what a blanket party is, a blanket party is kind of I consider it a Navy term. It's where a person gets covered up and then gets beat through the blanket. But anyway, an F for execution and a blanket party for the software. I still hold on hope that the software can be fixed in the future, but I doubt they can get rid of the AM hum by tweaking the software. Granted, this is the first digital radio recorder on the market in the U.S. using, and we got the number here, 1.0.52 version software. But still, that is just no excuse for such a shoddy product. Perhaps a version 2 software, hardware and software, would be better, but honestly, I'd rather see another company take a shot, especially TiVo. And on a side note, he contacted Griffin's tech support for information on eliminating the buzz and AM reception, and they haven't responded to him. Now, what I wanted one of these for was so I could listen to Coast to Coast AM during the daytime. Now, obviously, since this podcast thing has taken off, my iPod is full, so I don't know if I'd have room for 5 hours of Coast to Coast AM when I'm trying to get through all the other podcasts. But that's why I wanted the thing, so I could tune into Coast to Coast AM here when it was on late at night and listen to it. Okay, Microsoft has issued a patch for a critical bug. The bug has been out for like a month, obviously. You know, Microsoft never patches anything quickly, but Robert Scoble says there's a reason for it, and it's a good reason, I guess. And there was a link to that article about a month ago. But anyway, there's a go to Windows Update and get that patch. It is covering the advisory article that was out in, it said the number on its MS-04-TAC-040, and it's on the Knowledge Base article 889669, but I've got the link up there, so go check it out yourself. There's a interesting conclusion or hypothesis that by 2008, spyware removal will be a $305 million industry. And give you some comparison, it's only a $12 million industry. It was only a $12 million industry in 2003. So $12 million to $305 million. If you're a software company looking to make some money, and you've got some good guys on staff that understand spyware, I think that's a business that I would be investing in right now. Now, as no surprise, the word of the year, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, was blog. Now, the question is, for 2005, will the word of the year be podcast? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction that 2005, the word of the year, will be podcast. So we'll see what happens next year when that comes out. Now, yesterday, Wednesday, December 1st, was World AIDS Day. Now, my employer requires me to get an HIV test every year, whether I need it or not. And it goes for all the employees that I work with. My suggestion to all of you that are out there, if you are single and you are still dating and you have not had an HIV test, to go out and get one. It will give you some reassurance that what you're doing is, or what you have been doing or not doing, has been done correctly and safely. But being that it was World AIDS Day yesterday, I recommend everybody go out there and get an HIV test. Now, I normally don't put that kind of stuff in the Geek Show, but AIDS is a serious thing, and I thought it was worth noting. Now, on another topic, I know that geeks love to spend money, and we love our credit cards, and we like to go out and buy geek things, and a lot of geeks get in trouble with their credit cards. And I know a lot of you are probably won't admit that, and I'll be honest with you, a number of years ago I went down that road and had some issues and got myself out, but there's a lot of tools out there now for people to plan on how to get out of a credit card debt, and there's a great calculator, debt planner calculator, on CNN Money that I've linked to that you can put your credit card in there, the balances, interest rate, and how much they're requesting you to make a monthly minimum payment, and then you can come up with a, if you've got an amount that you want to spend, and it gives you a schedule, and it will give you a timeline so that you can honestly figure out how long it's going to take you to get out of your credit card debt. Check this out for you guys. Anybody that's got a credit card, any kind of credit card debt, be it $1,000 or $20,000, check it out, and this thing will surprise you and may help you out. So that's your financial geek tip of the day, even though this is supposed to be a tech show. NewsGator scored themselves another round of financing, and I don't know how, it doesn't say how much money they got, does it? I'm looking through the article. It does not say, but they are they're hiring. So if you are a .NET or a Windows developer, they're looking for employees. So if you're looking for a job and have a clue, I've provided both links up there to the NewsGator press release on the funding, and I've also got a link on the information about them looking for employees. I don't use NewsGator, but it's a pretty good aggregator, so if you're looking for a job, give them a call. Now, I've been trying to get a developer out of Florida on the hook to do an interview, and I talked to him today, and it looks like it's going to happen, but it probably won't be on until probably next week's Thursday. So two shows from now, I'm going to have a long podcast, because I'm going to have probably at least 30 minutes of interview time with him. So those of you that are fighting spam, and it's just, if it's filling your inboxes up and you're running your own servers, or even if you're not running your own servers and you know who is running your servers, this is a podcast that you're not going to want to miss, because the product that I'm using, it has revolutionized my inbox. I do not have a spam issue anymore. I absolutely do not have a spam issue. And it's so good that I can go back and I've looked through the logs, and because a lot of these applications out there now are tossing away legitimate emails. And out of about, we did some sampling, of about 80,000 attempts to send email to our server that would have gotten through otherwise without this software, we had two legitimate emails that got caught, and we put two rules in. But out of those 80,000, only two legitimate emails were tossed aside. I think that's significant. So you're going to want to catch that interview. But I think we're about it for tonight. We're at 32 minutes. I'm going to leave you some music. And no comments tonight from the voicemail line. I want to keep this the time down. But again, if you've got comments on tonight's show, and we also want you to get over there and check the iPodio.com site out. And we want to thank Thomas again for the interview. But give us a call at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Leave us your comments. And, of course, your name and your email will throw you a Gmail account. And, as always, send comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. And check out the website at geeknewscentral.com. And if you're an aspiring editor that wants to get some additional exposure, we'd be happy to have you as an editor on the site. But from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii, aloha, mahalo. That is hello and thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, we are going to put in a cut of non-RIAA music from GarageBand.com. Oh, that was a little headbanger music. Scream at the World by Unleaded, hosted over at GarageBand.com. Again, this is Todd with Geek News Central Podcast. Have a good evening. Mahalo.